Thank you, sir.
That's why I want to have that in front of whoever's running it.
Like right here?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah basically. Yeah. Yeah. And right next to all the beverages. Okay.
Just so you can spill it. Right.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. It seems like we were just here less than 3 days, 2 days, 3 days ago.
It does, it does. And yes. It seems like we were talking into microphones yesterday.
Yes.
But we weren't. But it was the day before yesterday.
It was, yes. What day is today? Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland. Nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, adventures and life hacks.
That's
and
right.
Today, massive sound systems.
And massive and change.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was trying to like segue into it. I know that there's something there and I was
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is why we do this together.
Absolutely. We're here with everybody's favorite person. PJ.
Everybody. PJ.
Not so sure about that.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
It's
How
good
to
see you. I'm doing okay. It was a big weekend. It was one of those weekends for me that I don't feel like I really rested. I think I was up too late on Sunday, and I got up too early on Monday and all that. So I'm feeling a little tired, but I drank some water. I feel less dehydrated than I used to and all that. And we've got some tasty beverages in front of us. So anyway, that's how I'm doing.
Well, thank you for the tasty beverages.
I'm glad that you're here. Yeah, we would ordinarily would thank our sponsor, the Beer Mongers, for these beverages. But
we can still thank our sponsors, the Beer Mongers,
we are indebted.
On Southeast Division and 12th.
Absolutely indebted to the Beer Mongers. Matter of fact, that's where we set up this interview with you. We said, hey, PJ, do you want to be on a podcast?
It's true. I remember that over quite a few beers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a good thing you remember that.
It was the day of Alleycross, right?
Yeah.
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 And you weren't racing Alleycross, but you were there for beer.
I was.
And you were there for the bikes, I think. To
I
see
was.
Them come and go.
Yeah. It just so happened that they were there.
It was a good
and
that
I was
side
there.
Benefit. But yes, if you want to come and watch bikes come and go and drink a couple of beers, there's no better place than the Beer Mongers,
yes.
Southeast Division and 12th.
They were showing Worlds there.
Oh.
The 28th.
Is that
you
right?
I want to say. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Totally missed them.
Oh, you didn't go?
No.
Okay. That's
it was,
soccer?
That was Sunday. No,
football?
It was. It was bikes.
Bikes?
Yes.
Worlds championship?
Like racing.
Oh, I thought it was a soccer thing.
No, no.
I think every sport has a Worlds.
Right, right.
Okay.
But it was in my inbox. There was an invite there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Come watch Worlds with us.
I think
and,
maybe.
Team
yeah.
The Beer Mongers was there.
Ah, yeah, yeah. So, matter of fact, they play lots of live sporting events with sound.
With sound.
If you're into that sort of thing, that's where the sound is. You go, you drink some beer, you cheer on your favorite team. If we were any less busy, I was going to say lazy, but it's not that we're lazy. We're just busy.
I can't say I was lazy this weekend.
No, sir. No, this week we just didn't go to the Beer Mongers. They still are offering us a sponsorship, and we didn't go and pick it up.
Yes.
So, thank you, the Beer Mongers, Southeast Division and 12.
I think they still win either way.
I think they do, yeah. Well, and I may go down. Maybe if you find yourself in that neighborhood sometime later this week, I should just tell them, hey, if PJ's there, give him a beer.
On us. Well, on you guys, on us.
Exactly. So...
I can certainly
see.
Try to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a good place to be. So, anyways, we had you in to talk a little bit about a couple of things. One was you have the most amazing sound system that's ever been put upon a bicycle.
Well, it's not the loudest, but...
But it's the most amazing. We're going to have you break that down in a minute or two.
Okay.
And we're also going to talk about kind of making the city you live in a better place. So, Aaron...
Yes.
I went to a city that's not the city I live in this weekend.
Really?
And it was not necessarily
you left Portland?
A better place. Yeah. I rode my bike up to Vancouver Lake, and I haven't been there
okay.
for a little while. And
yeah,
you
yeah.
might have seen on the Twitter, I put up a picture of this road I like to ride to. The,
I haven't seen it, actually.
Lower River Road. It's the road that's
Wait,
like,
did we take Team Sincerity there?
Maybe on a small piece of it.
Okay.
But it's the road that sloughs off into the Columbia River like every year.
Oh, okay.
We erosion do. Kind of breaks more of this old roadbed away.
Yeah.
And more of it falls
okay,
off.
I remember you talking about this.
And they
earlier.
Close gates and move barricades farther down the road. So now, 2 or 3 years ago, I'm trying to remember the first time I was, maybe like 6 years back now, but 2 or 3 years ago, I was there and there was this turnaround. If you look at it on Google Maps, there's like an RV park there and it looks like they were camping out and they were there for a while.
Uh-huh.
Now, the place where that RV was parked is gone.
Oh.
And two of those barricades that were there are lying on
as
the river
in,
sand right next to the river.
As in gone, like eroded away.
Gone, baby, gone. They're
perhaps,
all gone.
Perhaps there's an RV somewhere down at the
I hope they
the
got out first.
Well, yeah. Yeah, sure, sure. I'm seeing the RV itself, like not the people within.
So Adele and I...
That would be horrible.
Yeah, no. Adele and I went out and we made our way out to the end of the lake. We also... it's not the end of the lake, I guess. The end of the lake, the north side, also has a road spur. It's covered in empty shotgun shells.
Oh!
And I think it looks like on the pavement is the place where the city of Vancouver or maybe the county of Clark goes to get rid of all their used...
Shotgun shells?
That too.
What kind of a tire is recommended for riding over that?
Overused shotgun shells, at least a 32 centimeter. That's what I used, and it worked out okay. But the way that the stripes are painted at the end of this other spur on the north side of Vancouver Lake, it looks like they've taken all, like, if they had one of those street painters that, you know, one of the machines that goes out to paint the lines on the streets, and they knew that they had just a little bit of paint left over and they had to get it out of their system somehow.
Oh, right, right. Otherwise, it's going to clog it. It's like, you know, turning the can of spray paint over.
Right,
you know,
to
get whatever's in the straw in the nozzle.
Absolutely.
Out. Yeah.
The easy cheese.
Yeah.
So that's where all of the that's where all the paint from these paint machines goes, because, like, there's a middle line and there's two outer lines, but there's like 500 of each of those lines. And they've just taken this painting machine and like driven it back and forth a couple times and then turned it around and left.
Maybe it's paint school. It's where they practice.
Maybe. Yeah. It's how they learn. Yeah. Except, I mean, I don't know how you'd learn precision in that environment, but
with all of them like already there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it again.
So that's where we rode. And it was really interesting. I would recommend if you live in the Portland area and you haven't been out there yet, go see the end of Lower River Road before it falls into the Columbia.
Before all of it goes.
Because some of it has already fallen and you'll never see that part again.
Wow.
Yeah. It's out by the old Fazio house. And I don't know if you know the Fazio brothers.
No, never heard of it.
They run a farm on Savi Island, so they grow things. They also are controversial because they receive a farm tax break or subsidy or deferment or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But they're not actually using their farm to grow stuff. They do a landfill out near where you and I work in North Portland.
Oh.
And then...
So they farm garbage?
They farm gravel. Yeah, they crush rock. So there's that. And then there's the Fazio brothers also have... I think they're related. They're probably not all the same people. But it's the same family, largely,
right, right.
That also has a sand and gravel business up on Lower River Road. And they have a historic old house. It's like a teal-colored house or something. And it's the last piece of civilization right there next to the barricades, right next to where the highway is falling into the river. So it's pretty cool. I would not say that anyone should ever try to do something that they're not supposed to do on federal land. There's a wildlife refuge up there.
Oh.
And
don't do this.
No, absolutely not. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that the old highway that's crumbling into the river becomes an access road that goes through the south part of this wildlife refuge.
Oh.
Hypothetically, one could connect from this road to Ridgefield through the wildlife refuge. I'm not saying you should do this. That would be wrong.
But
and
it's
a violation
access road.
Of federal policy.
Somebody...
It's a maintenance road.
Okay.
Yeah. There are signs that say don't go here.
Okay.
I'm not telling you should do that. That would be wrong.
But you sound like you really know that it's entirely possible to do that.
I'm not telling you should do this. So anyways, we were up there, and it was nice. And I didn't do that yesterday.
Right.
You know, we just rode up to the end where the pavement falls off.
And then came back.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this because you mentioned Google Maps shows this RV or shows it goes out this far, right?
It also shows a bicyclist.
Really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
How many people? This is an interesting, like, I don't know, hypothetical.
Uh-huh.
How many people are like looking for something that they saw on Google Maps or a landmark of some kind that is no longer
it's
there
not
anymore.
Not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have
yeah.
a funny story about.
Do tell.
It's either Smith or Bybee Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Or Smith and Bybee Lake.
Well, they are forever connected and yeah. never to be separated.
Up in North Portland near the old Vanport site where the flood happened in the 40s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For a long time, the Google satellite image had on either one of these two lakes an enormous like equipment tire, like one of these big earth-moving equipment tires that are like 12 feet in diameter or whatever, uh-huh. just sitting in the water with its treads really? Visible all the way around, little circle.
Yeah.
And I went out there and actually saw that tire.
Really?
And now it's gone. It's oh, like wow. the image of it is gone.
Oh, so the image is gone.
The image is gone, and
is the,
and the tire
also gone?
Yeah, I think the tire is gone.
What happened to it?
I don't know. Knows. Whether it sunk in, whether somebody, somebody thought that they could use it.
Or... yeah.
Free well, tire. I mean, it could be a sandbox for somebody.
I was going to say.
I guess a rather large sandbox.
If you're in the construction business, those things are expensive.
There you go.
Yeah, it looked like it had a few miles left on the tread.
I like that. I don't know, that satellite resolution is so good that you can see a tire in a lake.
Right.
And then you can go out and see that actual tire in the actual lake in person. Yeah. So both to your point that
yes,
there are some things that people might be looking for that aren't there anymore, and to yours where there are things that you could see at one point, they're no longer there, or maybe you can go and see them in the real
or
world.
Or have discovered them because of Google Maps
yeah.
or whatever, or
yeah.
satellite imagery. Yeah.
Okay, here's the homework assignment. Here's the call to action for our listeners. You tell us what happens in your town. What's the thing that you've seen? You know what? I don't even have the call to action music right now. I need to load that onto
wow.
the machine someday. But what I will say is that, yeah, I do want to know if
we can
someone
put that
has
in post, right?
What should we look at in your town on Google Maps? You know, not necessarily famous things, but cool things. And what are some things that you have found that are surprising to you? There we go.
Bonus. Homework.
Yes.
What is some place that you are looking for because you saw it on Google Maps?
Ah. Yeah. 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 These are good questions. How was your weekend? What did you do?
Well, I was also quite busy. We co-starred?
That's true.
Co-guest starred?
I think you were the star.
I don't know. Look, the role of the straight man is very important. And
on Saturday, we were part of the Sketch Comedy Podcast show.
Yes.
Podcast. So we yes. taped a show. That hasn't come out yet, but it will be public soon. I think there's some editing that needs to be done to make it into a sketch comedy podcast show.
But it was fun.
Yeah. Stuart, we met at the Open Rose, or not Open Rose, Open Rose was our last project, Stream PDX fundraiser, where we did the podcast challenge, the 24-hour podcast challenge.
Which was like more like a 9-hour podcast
yes,
challenge.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks
yeah.
to the weather.
It got shortened. A lot of things got shortened thanks to weather this year, but he met us there and he said, "Hey, you guys are cool. You want to be on my sketch comedy podcast show sometime?" And so we did on Saturday, and you were hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely hilarious. And the rest of it, I mean, so the way he does it, he does like a five-minute sketch
like
or
the
something.
The build-up to the sketch was probably my favorite part.
Right, and that's the part that I like because he releases the sketch itself, like the really short five-minute thing as one episode, and then he releases the interview that leads up to the sketch as the second part.
As like an episode B or something.
Yeah, and that's then on cool. Thursday, you get classic sketch comedy podcast show.
Really?
You can tell I've been listening awesome. For a while.
Yeah.
But anyways.
You can tell I haven't been listening.
No, but it was fun to be involved. And I like the story that inspired our sketch because it was a story that you told. So
yes.
we're not going to tell that here.
No, no,
you got to go listen
no.
to his
yeah.
show
yeah.
when it comes out.
No spoilers.
But we'll put the link up, and that was fun. Also, we went to CollaboFest.
CollaboFest was the shit.
Yeah.
I'm so sad I didn't like just bite the bullet and go. Like, I decided, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Well, we thought maybe there would be fences, and it turns out this event
right.
was not fenced, and you needed a wristband.
I didn't want to pay $25 to not drink.
Yeah, you needed a wristband and tickets to, like, to drink, but you could just hang out and wander the streets there and drink free kombucha all day.
Free kombucha by Happy Mountain.
Happy Mountain, which, by the way, I've got that card there. He gave one to me earlier. But, they're a brand new kombucha. I don't know if they're brand new. They're a new.
They're a fairly new
kombucha company here in town.
Partnered with Tea Chai Tea.
Yeah, and super tasty stuff. So if you want to hear all about Collabo Fest, including our interview with She Jumps, one of their representatives, and some stuff about the Oregon Timber Trail, and a lot of stuff about beer.
And a couple people who claim to make the worst beer.
Oh, yeah. Yes. PJ, do you go to the Slammer Tavern ever? You don't have to.
I do.
Okay, I was going to say, you don't have to admit to it if you don't want to.
Midnight Mystery Ride there a few years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And the owner is a really interesting lady.
She is. She's super cool. She's got a dedication to her craft of running a tavern and to having Christmas lights up all the time and to having, like,
Using glass.
Yeah. The biggest nutcracker collection, right? Like, she's just got enormous, like Christmas nutcrackers that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You open walnuts with. She's a fan of those, too. But we met two people who claim to have a beer on tap at the Slammer called Ted.
Ted is what it's called.
Ted.
Okay.
That sounds tasty? I don't know.
They claim it's the worst beer.
They said it's shitty beer, yeah.
The makers of the beer claim that it's the worst beer.
And this was the hilarious part.
The goal that they were trying to achieve was, can we get the worst beer on tap in Portland?
I don't know if they wanted specifically to make the worst beer on tap. I think they just made a beer and realized, like, this is shitty beer, but then, like, kept making it that way.
Yeah, they had matching jumpsuits, which endeared me to them immediately.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes. They apparently, I want to go.
With their names, like, kind of on them.
They hold the Lantern Rouge of Portland beer, I guess, currently.
I think so.
Yeah.
Which is a trick, because if you're too slow, you get cut out of the race or not get put onto a tap.
Right.
Right? If you're too bad.
Right,
so you have to be just bad enough.
It's true. Yeah.
It's just slightly better than PBR.
So that was fun. They said more like Rainier.
Oh.
That was kind of what they were going for.
My bad.
The distinction, the difference between the two is very important. So that was fun. And also DJ Gregarious, who didn't have any Eve 6. I tried. I asked him.
Oh, really?
Like, hey,
you asked him?
Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
Like,
I don't think I have any, man. But he did play a song I like by the Cars.
Oh, well, that was nice
dollar,
of him.
Because he had a tip jar. So it is pay to play. And there's nothing illegal about that when you're a DJ at a live event.
No. I think what I liked about his DJ method was just how each song sort of flowed really naturally into each other. And I'm sure this is just sort of the trademark of a good DJ. And I haven't been out enough. But, you know, we were listening to Prince at one point, and then later on we were listening to, like, Zeppelin. And you didn't really, like, notice the stark change in between. I feel like you would notice that.
Well,
it just sort of gradually. If you went, like, from Prince to Zeppelin, definitely. I think a lot of us hopefully would notice that.
Yeah.
But, like, sort of gradually built, like, oh, we're listening to, like, you know, 80s, you know, Minneapolis sound. And now, you know, gradually going over to, like, 70s kind of proto metal.
Yeah. Wait, 80s Minneapolis, like Bob Mould from Husker Du?
No.
No.
That's, like, underground Minneapolis.
Oh,
Minneapolis sound is, like, a very specific, like, Morris Day, the Time, Prince.
Gotcha.
All of those crew, that's the Minneapolis sound.
Popular music.
Yeah, more like funk, pop.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I thought I was going to impress you by dropping, like, a really underground name.
Right.
But Aaron Flores is not to be trifled with when it comes to music.
I'm going to just push up my glasses.
I liked that this guy was quoting stuff. Like, there were a couple of times where I heard little pieces of songs that I recognized just worked into the background of songs that he was playing. And it wasn't like he transitioned to play the whole song. It was just like a little bit of something that you know you like. That was pretty fun. So, PJ, speaking of music, you've got a kick-ass sound system.
So you say.
I think it really is. It's one of the, so you say it's not the loudest. Who has the loudest sound system in Portland on a bike?
I think it's Carl, not coming up with his last name.
Carl,
right,
who
now
fell off the tall bike?
Didn't we all?
Broke his leg.
Didn't we all?
Because there's a Carl who fell off of a tall bike, and now he has a piece of the thing that kept his bones together.
Right, right.
That he, like, is going to build onto a bike. But I'm not sure if it's that Carl or not.
Yeah, he has the loudest.
Okay.
So that's on a whole big trike assembly and everything with like four batteries, four big car batteries.
So, uh-huh. That's more than one car battery.
That's it. That's a heavy load.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why
I don't want to carry one car battery on
my bike. I've got the one. I graduated up to this 100 amp hour battery that is like, I really have to plan my routes and not hit certain hills because
you're not going interstate. You're not going up interstate with this one.
Well, and you know, you're not, it's not that you're going to run out of electricity. It's that the battery weighs too much is what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. So Loud and Lit is the ride I was thinking of in which I'm sure Carl's contraption showed up, right? Because that's just like, let's make as much noise as humanly fucking possible.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So your system, tell us about how it's constructed, because it's on a classy bike.
I will say it's an elegant system. Like, you can have the loudest, you know, with four car batteries. And I'm not going to I'm sorry if this sounds like I'm putting down Carl, and I don't mean to do that. But
and
I will say, like, the way yours is put together, like, it fits on the bike. It's a very elegant system.
I painted everything the same color. So.
Well, that helps, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's uniform.
Well, okay, so there's, like, two approaches you can take with the sound systems. And they're basically, you can build it on a car stereo foundation, like a 12-volt DC system.
Direct current.
That is correct. Or you can go with you have the same batteries, but you have an inverter and you make AC and then you use all PA stuff. And the PA stuff is probably a little bit louder and more durable. But I just went with the car stereo approach and, you know, it kept the size down a little smaller. That's the other thing. So, this is now, I'm on like kind of version 3.1.
Okay. Yeah. When did you first build? Cause this is did we say already it's on a Bullet cargo bike?
I don't think we said.
It's on a Bullet cargo bike.
Yeah. It's really,
and now we've said,
yeah, it's a good looking bike already. And now it's a good sounding bike too.
And I kind of bought the bike with the idea of doing this.
Okay.
Is that right? From the beginning?
Yeah.
You were like, hey, let's, yeah.
Like, I had other uses for the bike, and I have done, I do other things with it. It's a great, it's my truck, basically.
Yeah.
But the minute I saw it, I'm like, I bet I could put a nice sound system on this.
Yeah.
And then it took a while.
Yeah. And you built an enclosure. Is it a plywood base, or it was at one point?
It's all marine-grade plywood. Yeah, if it gets wet, it won't fall apart.
It means it can be out in the weather for a while.
A little
if
bit.
You have to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't choose to have it out in the weather, I'm sure, but...
Well, I've been on a couple rides where I knew I had to take sound with me, and I brought, like, garbage bags or whatever to put over it. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it'll take a little bit.
Just briefly, how long have you been doing music by bike?
I'm just trying to think now. This would go back to probably 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
So almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo. Wow.
Well done.
That's scary.
there was a time in which I was going to the Bowie versus Prince ride in which, two people. Yeah, you've got your Prince badge on.
Yep. Yep.
And I think I want to say I went to the Prince side.
Really?
Because you were on your way to this ride as well, and my lady and I were looking for the start point. You were on your way, and you had this enormous stereo system on your Bullet, and you were working your way towards it.
I think I remember riding up Clinton and seeing you guys,
right.
And it started at the parking lot across from North Bar. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that would have been the first year of my sound system.
There we go. That was when it was brand new.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it up close and personal recently, but that was the first time I think I ever saw you in the world in person. We hadn't met yet. I hadn't met you anywhere else, and so I was just like, there's this guy with this awesome thing. How does he do it? So now I get to ask. But before the Bullet, did you have other mobile sound systems? Did you start with anything else, or you just started big?
Yeah. Well, there were other people. Mine certainly isn't the first. There were other people who did sound systems. I'm thinking back to the probably the like 2 years before or a year before with the Prince Bowie ride the previous year. I don't know if you remember Tom Rolfe.
I remember the name.
Yeah. He had a sound system on a trailer, okay. And he couldn't be there, and he lent it to somebody else, and they plugged it in wrong and blew a fuse. And here we were at the Prince Bowie ride, and this
sound.
Thing isn't working, and we're struggling to make this thing come on. And basically, everyone is all dressed up in glammy, you know, super costumes.
Right. They're there in spirit, and ready to party.
And it's silent. There's no music. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to let that happen again.
What happened to this? Did the music come on eventually?
Eventually, they found how to get the fuse replaced, and they got it going. But we had already, like, a bunch of my friends and I had already just like, we can go somewhere else and listen to music. So we left.
Okay, let's go bowling. Yeah, okay. But you said, hey, I'm gonna have a bomb-proof sound system on my bike.
Right. And that's not always been the case, but the goal is bomb-proof.
Yeah. So marine-grade plywood.
Yeah.
And marine speakers?
The regular speakers are marine speakers, yeah.
Okay.
And the first iteration that I did, it was just two little 6-inch speakers that I built. I built basically this long box with doors that swung out at hinges.
Uh-huh.
And you would swing the doors out when... you were like when you arrived at the place.
Okay.
But you couldn't ride with the doors open, although sometimes they popped open while I was riding, and that was awkward. I started with that, and it was like a kind of a cylinder subwoofer thing that came out of a friend's car that he didn't need. And it was just a mess of wires, and I did whatever it took to get it going. And, you know, it was okay. But one of the things I learned was that if you have speakers aiming on either side of you, then the people riding next to you hear great sound, but the people in front of you and behind you don't get much.
Right. Yes.
So that's when I started thinking about how to do that better. And so...
multi-directional?
The next sound system I built, I got four main speakers, and they're bigger 7-inch speakers, and I built boxes for them, and they're kind of like, what's the word? Trapezoidal or, you know, like they're angled.
Yeah.
So
they're like a rhombus.
Not a rhombus. Rhombus is parallel.
Yeah, okay. I probably. Well, that's a parallel.
It's a polygon of some kind.
Yes,
okay.
It is a polygon.
All agree on this.
But anyway, so I built those, and I got the fabulous people at North Street Bags to give me Pennier hardware.
Oh.
So
really?
The hooks and the little stretchy bungee thing and the, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so all of the speakers have that hardware on them.
Okay.
Two of them I hang off I had to get a back rack for the bullet.
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't have enough storage capacity
right.
as it is. And so those two speakers are angled backwards, at, you know, like back into the sides. So it fills out nicely behind.
So all of your followers can hear what's happening.
Yeah. And then got to have the people in front happy, too. So I rest the other two speakers on top of the subwoofer aiming forward.
There we go. And then the subwoofer is on the cargo platform?
Yes.
Okay. So how does one achieve really fulfilling subwoofer bass in an environment that's not necessarily enclosed? Like how do you get that reverberation that you love about bass?
Well... I had originally wanted to aim the speaker straight down onto the, you know, onto the street.
Uh-huh.
But it would have meant removing the deck on the you know, the floor on the cargo deck.
Okay.
And I just didn't think it was, you know, it wasn't that practical for me. So
sure.
And I was concerned about it, and then I was gifted another subwoofer.
Okay.
from a guy who bought a truck who, believe it or not, wanted to actually use it as a truck. He has a farm.
An actual truck to carry cargo and stuff?
Yeah.
Get out
and
of town.
So he bought this truck, and it comes with all this crap in it. And he's like, there's an enormous subwoofer behind the seats. What's this doing here? And he brought it to work, and he's like, does anyone want this? And I'm like, me,
sure,
please.
Of course I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it came with its own amplifier. And it's this 12-inch, you know, with a box and an amp. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. And I plugged it in, and I figured it was loud enough, whether it was ported down, up, left, right, it
no
didn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. And
so that solves that problem.
For sure. Without getting too complex, like, did you have to set up any sort of wiring system to get like all the sound coming from places and going to places you wanted it to, or was it fairly easy to plug all these components together?
It's theoretically easy, theoretically. But the practical aspect of it is making sure you have secure contacts and have wires not come loose as you're riding along, and that has happened.
Yeah, well,
so
music is made up of vibrating waves.
Yes.
So it's like everything has to be tied down pretty tight.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time trying to clean up the wiring, and you know, I'm at a good place with it now. But I've been through a lot of things where I'd have to like stop the bike in the middle of a crowded bike ride, and go around and like start tweaking a knob to get the sound to come back on a given speaker. So,
well, the effect is really easy to feel. Like anybody who's been near this thing knows, it's like the coolest thing that ever happens to any bike ride. You show up, you offer your support, and suddenly it's the coolest. So if you haven't seen it, I think we should find a way for people to, number one, come to Portland during Pedalpalooza, spend
Definitely.
A week or two here. PJ's going to be around amplifying sound for various rides that he's on. So there's that. But you've got some photos, I'm sure, online or video or what have you. We could probably
I can send you some for your show
some
notes.
Of that. Yeah, we'll put it up so people can see it. But it's pretty great. And if anybody should we send the world knocking to your door to figure out how to do this for themselves?
Well,
come to PJ's.
No.
There's a lot of expertise out there. People are making great sound systems all over town right now, and they're what's interesting is the Stereo Shop. If I can plug them,
go for it.
It's Mobile West right here on MLK.
Oh yeah.
When I first started shopping with them, they were on East Broadway, and then they relocated. They even expect to get people building bike sound systems now.
Oh, really?
So yeah,
it's their market.
Like, that's their market. They built some custom like fully enclosed things that you can just drop into a trailer for people. So if you don't want to figure it out and you don't do carpentry or whatever, the guys at Mobile West will actually build you a box.
Really?
Wow.
Ready to go.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
So it's like there's an actual market for this.
There sure is.
That's hilarious. It's no longer like the DIY kind of thing that most people think it is.
Well, and if you have a couple $100 sitting around, or what, a couple thousand,
right,
or however
like
much you
us.
Want to drop on this, not everybody is a do-it-yourselfer, and
I
that's what's kept me from having a cooler sound system sooner, is that I just don't have the tools to build stuff with or whatever, but it could be done. And I think more people should have, you know, music is a big piece of a fun group bike ride. Music is a big piece of a fun solo bike ride.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, you know, and sharing your music, or whether you think of it as noise pollution or whether you think of it as sharing joy, I think either way, it's worth going out sometimes for a ride on your own and just like, hey, I like this music. I'm going to share it with the world.
So let's talk a little bit about like noise pollution. Like where is the line? Is there a line? Should we I don't know. Should we be attentive to it?
Is rock and roll noise pollution?
Is there a point like in a ride where like there's just too many people with sound system? Is there an etiquette to having a sound system during a ride?
I think I've run afoul of a couple of people in my day. Now, I'll say by far so many people, you know, wherever I'm riding, so many people just come out of their houses, stand on their porches and clap and wave and start dancing. But there are always the get off my lawn people. They're always going to be around, and you just have to you know, be aware of it. I have goofed it a couple times. Like I had the sound system on and stopped to wait for somebody to meet me and just kept it on. And then people came out, you know, it was a Sunday morning and it was right. a little too loud.
We're
for
trying
that.
To sleep in. I only get so much of my weekend.
On a
so
Sunday
I'm,
morning,
I'm
yeah.
trying to be better at that.
Sure.
But you
it
know.
Seems like being in motion has a lot to do with it, right? Like in some ways, like even if you don't approve of the music that's passing your house, like if it's coming out of a car, they're going to be gone in a couple of minutes.
So yeah. This past summer, comic book writer, famous comic book writer, Greg Rucka, happens to be living here in Portland. He's currently, I believe, writing for Wonder Woman. He happened to tweet, or I apparently Loud and Lit went by his house and happened to tweet like, "This has been going on for the past 20 minutes, and it's not ending."
Well, it's a pretty big ride, too. There's so yeah. much noise yeah. and so many yeah. people.
Yeah, but I just thought that this was hilarious that he's sort of like, I don't know if he's a someone who's been in Portland for a long time or and had not been privy to that, you know, side of Portland, or if it was just like a total surprise, like he's a newbie to Portland. Well, but yeah, but it was just this weird thing where, you know, again, it's late at night or whatever. And it didn't sound like he was complaining other than just like,
I think he was maybe just amazed.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can this be? Yeah. Well, I'm happy that you have the sound system. It was inspiring to me to start working on my own, and I'm nowhere close to where you have been. But I also, you know, I haven't been willing to invest as much either. So I think thank you again for the joy that you
yes.
bring to the group bike rides. So
and even,
pleased to do it.
Yeah, even if it's not like a quote-unquote music ride, like whenever you show up like with your amp, it sort of brings the ride a little bit, you know, up.
I think every ride should be a music ride.
Ride.
I want to do Dayron with a Bickle stereo system someday. Just like 50 miles of pointless climbing with people who are like already pissed off because they want to beat like all the other guys and like right next to them.
Well, I've thought of doing Cycle Oregon
with the sound system. That
yeah.
would be sweet.
That would be
another
fun.
Option was the one they have in Iowa.
Ragbri. That sounds exactly like
yeah.
something that
yes.
should happen at Ragbri. Yeah, and people have written to us about Ragbri before, but I'd be curious. I know a couple people have probably hopped on since the last time we mentioned
uh-huh.
it. Has anybody had Ragbri experiences? I would like to hear your stories. Because I know we talked to somebody who had done it before, but there are so many more people with stories and experiences.
One of my lifetime goals is to go
to Ragbri.
Yeah.
This could happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty.
This is a possibility.
It's pretty achievable,
right,
really.
Right. So,
well, you don't need a passport or a visa.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. So far, Iowa still accessible to the rest of the nation. But can we pivot to our next topic? Because bikes and sound systems are fun. There are also some aspects of life that are not so much fun, and you've had a voice in some of the response to some of these things. So how do you think about urban improvement and the quality of life in our city?
Well, I think overall, I'm going to say that our elected officials all mean well, but they can't possibly do everything we want them to do. And sometimes... you know what needs to be done in your area perhaps better than most other people, and you want to do something and you want to make that change, you just kind of have to go do it.
So what's an example of that?
Well, you mentioned that, you know, this is a little darker than the previous topic, but what I was involved in last summer was the whole tragedy on Hawthorne.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know what happened there.
So a 15-year-old girl named Fallon Smart was, she'd just gotten a bubble tea from the Fat Straw. She's there with her mother and I think maybe a friend or two. But basically, she was just crossing the street. A car stopped for her. So Hawthorne Boulevard there is three lanes of traffic. It's one lane in each direction and another lane for turning. So a car had stopped. Unfortunately, there was another car that decided that central lane was a speeding lane. And
a passing lane.
Yeah. And it hit her. Killed her right in front of her mother. And absolute devastating. Devastating to everybody who saw it. Devastating to everybody who knew her. Just a horrible event. And but it sort of was a moment where we realized this part of the street is broken. It is it's a neighborhood commercial district where the street is laid out like a speedway. And I think it was, and this had been redesigned back, I don't know, like 15 years. I have all the dates somewhere, but they're not in my head.
Yeah. Well, it used to be bigger. Is that right?
Like it was redesigned with the idea of making it more amenable to the neighborhood, but they were changing it from something that was far worse already. And they treated that part of Hawthorne, so this is at 43rd, they treated that differently than the parts of Hawthorne that are west of Cesar Chavez.
I was going to say 39th Cesar Chavez, yeah.
Kind of in a very, very established business district where lots of people are walking right the road. Not so much east of there.
Well, it started out not being that way. There were a handful of businesses there when they did the last redesign, and now it's actually full of businesses and people living there and everything. It's really become just as vibrant and thriving a commercial district and a residential, mixed use district.
Yeah, it's
with
growing.
Lots of foot traffic.
Yeah.
The nearest marked crosswalk. Well, there's one at 41st, and the next one is I believe, at 47th.
So that's a long. Portland blocks are smaller than other blocks, but that's still a long ways to go for a recognized, visible crosswalk where, motorists would recognize that a person in them is trying to cross the street safely and legally.
I mean, this is sort of splitting hairs here, but the way the law states, any pedestrian crossing anywhere on the street has right of way.
Well, this is what we were. And this is what Fallon Smart was doing.
Right.
She was entirely in compliance with the law.
One corner of an intersection to another.
Yeah. So we decided that, we were just trying to do something. Like, I'll say that we didn't decide anything at this point other than people wanted to act.
Yeah.
They wanted to stop this craziness. And I went there and basically the morning after this had happened, I went there with my cargo bike and a bunch of folding chairs and a cooler. And I pulled that bike into the middle of the street and I set up the chairs. I brought some signs, some poster board to work on signs and some traffic cones. And I basically just occupied the center of the street. And then other people heard that I was there and they came along and we ended up with, quite the posse.
And this was just a direct action in response to the event.
That's right.
It wasn't supported by anybody in official positions. It wasn't, no one was telling you to do this. This was just like, we have to respond in some way.
That's right. And, we made ourselves a movement and, we occupied the place. A police car, came up, pulled in, and the policeman said that we had to move. And I said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. I looked him right down. I said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. And he said, I'll be back. And I said, we'll be here. And he didn't come back.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've always heard that you shouldn't make promises you can't fulfill. But, yeah, it's interesting. So because I'm assuming that law enforcement made their he didn't come back. Did you deal with law enforcement there?
There was another policeman who came back later, okay. And it was a different interaction.
Okay. What was that one like?
That one was, we understand what you're doing here. It's great what you're doing. But we're going to have to actually ask you to move eventually. And I said, okay, well, we are eventually going to go home. So there aren't going to be any people out here. What I didn't tell him was that we weren't going to move the cones.
Yeah.
And we weren't going to move any of the bouquets of flowers, which
right.
were just rapidly accumulating.
Right, because in this process, it became sort of a memorial
That's right.
site.
The Fallon's friends and family were all collecting on the side of the street and rapidly building up a ton of flowers, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was on the sidewalk and then spreading to the center of the street and the other side of the street.
When you interacted with them, what sense did you get of what they thought of what you were doing? Obviously, people were bringing flowers, so they realized that something was happening.
I will say that there were a couple of her friends who thought we were being inappropriate. Mm.
In what way?
By far, the majority of her friends were supporting what we were doing. I think that they were concerned that we were taking away the attention from her. And putting it on our own, desire to
do
something.
You were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can see that. I could say, especially in the midst of what was going on and all the emotions.
And it was important.
It's understandable.
So one thing I missed to say was during the middle of the night, somebody had hastily painted a crosswalk right there.
Hastily?
Oh,
yes.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot
someone,
that was part of this whole.
Well, I know who you're going to think it was.
Else?
No, it was a private person
okay.
who I later found out the identity of.
Okay.
But he also painted a body profile.
Ah.
And that wasn't all that.
That might
cool.
have been, yeah, that might have been.
So we actually went and got a can of paint that was the color of the
Asphalt.
Street, and we painted over the body
okay.
profile.
Okay, yeah.
We thought that was going a little that was the insensitive part.
That, uh-huh. Yeah, definitely.
Although done with totally good intention.
Right. The intention is right.
Yeah.
And that's the sticky thing about doing anything like that. Anytime someone's divided about
right.
what they should do, because what the establishment says and what needs to be done to reach the goals that you have. But you've also got. You've got this in-between space of what do I do? Which lines do I walk? How do we achieve this, the goals of this, and communicate something, make a statement that is heard and resonates with people?
Yeah.
Because the resonance is the part that, like you're saying, a body outline doesn't achieve resonance. That's not the thing that was going to bring the right kind of attention to what happened.
Correct.
But a crosswalk would.
A crosswalk would. Also, we felt that we needed to emphasize the fact that this was a memorial for Fallon that also achieved the goal of being slowing down traffic. And to slow down traffic is to honor Fallon Smart and everybody who's been hit and injured on our streets.
Mm-hmm.
So then we ended up putting in... another cross painting in another crosswalk on the other half of the intersection.
Okay.
It's kind of an offset intersection. So there's actually three places you can put a crosswalk in.
And three legal crosswalks exist at all those places. They haven't been painted in yet.
Three places you can paint a crosswalk in. There are three actual crosswalks, exactly.
Yeah.
So we went and this is in broad daylight. We just decided to do it. And so we did it with paint and some pretty durable white tape to delineate the sides of the thing. And while we were doing it, we were being cheered on. This is on the second day. This is the Sunday. We were being cheered on. Everybody was being considerate. We had flaggers and detour cones and everything.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And actually, we painted it in stages. And, the first stage was already dry by the time we're painting the second stage. So the cars could just go over the first stage. It was a hot day.
Right.
What do you think the public's perception was? Because it sounds like if you got flaggers and things, you look official. It's
yes.
It's kind of like the thing about infiltration. You just need a clipboard to look
That's
important
right.
and get places. But
well,
in this case, what do you think the public thought?
An orange safety vest and a construction hard hat does wonders.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you.
Dress the part.
That's
the
right.
Job you want to have.
That's right. I can't tell you how many people were so thankful. But the weird thing is the people who weren't thankful, it seemed like they always thought it was there. They were just using it. So it's like there was this group of people who didn't even notice a thing had changed.
Uh-huh.
And that is a sign that that thing should have been there all along.
Interesting.
It's sort of like out in nature, or not even necessarily nature, just around town even, you see what are called desire trails, you know, where like people have been walking this,
right,
this part for a while, or animals or whatever. And so it's already made this trail in the ground or in the infrastructure.
Right.
And it's sort of like the human or the cityscape version of that.
Well, so for the last century, we have been, you know, rounding out the corners so that people in cars had their desire trails that they wanted.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And now it's time that, you know, we work on the desire trails of other modes.
Right. They kind of balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, what would you tell people? Because some people are going to hear your story and say, that's awesome. I want to do something exactly like that. Other people would hear the story and say, I have serious reservations about what this person did. What would you say to each of those people?
Well, to the first group of people, I'd say, yeah, go for it.
Maybe more pointedly.
Like, what advice, I guess,
yeah,
would you
oh,
pass
we do,
on?
I do have some practical advice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to really study the area you want to change and think of the consequences. Now I believe that, you know, if you do it to the extent that a civil engineer would do it, you would talk yourself out of doing anything. So the question is, you know, like, just, you know, use common sense, figure out what's the safest way to do things and do it. Now, one of the biggest criticisms from the second group of people is that they say you can't paint in crosswalks because it gives people a false sense of security.
Yes. I believe Commissioner Novick said exactly that, wasn't he?
He didn't say it himself, but.
Okay. Sorry, Steve.
His people.
Or
did.
He may have quoted that idea and not, you know, it's.
He repeated it, at least.
Yeah, he repeated it.
Okay.
And there is that sentiment within PBOT that
right.
that is the case. And
the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
That is correct.
For anybody who doesn't live here. But yes.
We may be a little too wonky here.
They knew what they were getting into.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a major concern, but it's not really true because people... If you already have a legal crosswalk and you're already entitled to cross the street anyway,
is there a false sense of security
that, you know, that there's you know, you have the right to do this.
You do.
And
right.
So if you're not doing it because you've been scared off of doing it for safety reasons, then you didn't really have the right to do it anyway, so let's give you back that right. And making the right happen is by making it clear that you do have that right, and that's what crosswalk paint is about.
Yeah, the right to cross the street. It exists. It
yeah.
will
and,
exist. It will continue to exist.
Yeah, and to be clear, like, paint on the ground is not going to give you any more physical protection.
Well, that's great.
Right.
Than, you know, you had before. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm trying to contradict you. But point of fact, this crossing over here on MLK and Graham.
Close to where we are.
Yeah. I just walked across it with my bike, you know, rode here from work and then got to this point and walked across. And whereas, yes, I have this legal right to just walk across. This is a 4-lane busy road. I'm not just going to, like, jump out, you know.
Asserting that right is difficult to do.
And even exercising said right. Like, okay, so I've asserted this right. I've waited for at least one lane to clear. I've decided, okay, well, this one lane's clear. I'm going to start walking across. All these others coming in the other lane that I'm approaching either will see me or I will be able to see them. Either I will stop, which I would rather not because then I'm in the middle of the road and... Or they will stop, which they should, as is, you know, Oregon state law. but I'm still not just going to run across the road either.
Yeah. Right, because you're aware of your situation.
Right, right.
Which you have to be, but some people take that too far and say it's all on you.
Right, right.
And so what I say is, you know, a painted crosswalk is better than a not painted crosswalk, but we also need better than that still.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a transformation of the way people think about right of way and the protection of people in public.
I kind of go back to like what Guthrie was saying a couple of episodes back about, you know, right of way. And he kind of touched on it a little bit, over in India and the way traffic works over there and how he felt so much safer in the massive traffic biking through that than over here in like some of these like bikeways that are like meant to quote unquote protect us.
Right.
I've seen some of the YouTube videos of intersections in India.
I think a lot of it comes down to this understanding of one, like right of way, and two, just this culture that we have here in the U.S. of just needing to get from point A to point B as fast as humanly possible.
And kind of
that goes across mode, you know, whether it's walking, cycling, or you know, driving.
But the interesting thing is, if you look at any public space with a whole lot of people walking around, how many people run into other people?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I mean, you know, there are like, look at like an airport lobby or whatever, or a shopping mall. There are no lanes. There are no signs telling you to slow down. There are no like turn signal, you know, like you don't have to carry a little light in your hand that blinks to go left.
Or like they had over near 92nd and Division, these little flags that were like stowed on one end and carry
my
over
least
it
favorite.
And like stick it on the other end.
But what I mean is like at human speeds, we negotiate that stuff so easily. Mm-hmm. And it's once you get out of a human speed, when you put yourself in a car and that car is going faster than we have evolved to travel.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, there's something so deeply innate in our brains about, you know, our physical selves and how we're able to think and react and so on, that once you extend the capabilities of our physical selves to something that is unnatural, then everything goes to hell. And that's why we need all of these, you know, traffic signals and controls and so on. You have to do it because people want to go as fast as they feel comfortable going.
Because we're all the old Spice Ed. I'm on a horse.
Well, and we keep building technology to make it more comfortable.
That's right.
To go faster.
That's right. And in the good places around the world, they're actually making it a little bit less comfortable so that you do slow down. And
yeah, we've talked about that with Guthrie, talked about it with your experiences in Mexico. These are things that are happening that kind of keep people aware, attentive, and in that there's an inherent care for the other person, whatever mode they have, even if it's just your own feet. So, is there anything else you want to chat about that, or should we roll into our headlines?
Well, I never got to the punchline.
Oh, right.
Excuse me. I'd like to hear like what happened.
To this. Yes.
The punchline is that the city didn't take it down for over a month and a half, longer than that.
Yeah.
There was a neighborhood meeting. PBOT came to that meeting. They heard the entire community say things have to change on Hawthorne Boulevard, and they said, we're going to do it. And then only after a long time did they say, okay, we have a plan in place, so now we're going to ask that you move. And it had built by now to actual permanent planters that were planted plants. So they pulled it all back. They took all the signs down and everything. And they gave us the plan that they're going to do, which is actually kind of an interesting thing. They're going to put in a central crosswalk, the one that we never painted in, the middle one. And do a bunch of structures in this so-called precious turn lane. It was more than we even thought we could get. And also prevent anybody from crossing from one side of 43rd to the other, which is a big dangerous thing because it's this offset
street.
It looks great. It looks like a really useful thing. We want to see more of them. We feel that the city should be sensitive to the, like from an equity standpoint, that they did something in a well-to-do white neighborhood.
Right.
Because a white girl was killed. Okay. And
that's not to like take away from the tragedy of this whole situation.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, you go further out.
Right.
Where there's people
at the
who
same
aren't
time,
necessarily of upper middle class white families.
There was a series of tragedies on East Division. Very like there were
one right after the other.
There were one within two. There was one within 2 hours of the previous one.
Yeah.
It was just shocking. So we feel very, very strongly that they need to work on that. And actually, the Bike Loud group went ahead and did a project on East Division.
That's right.
And I came along and cooperated on that one.
Yeah, we mentioned that briefly when it happened, I believe.
Yeah.
It was they shut down two entire lanes of traffic in both directions for a long time.
Yeah. And as a result of that and the community support, Peabody is going to respond to that one and make changes on the street. So,
right. Well, and I think this is where it underscores that there's a time for being polite and there's a time for operating within the system as it's structured. But there's also a time when you find that people aren't listening and bad things are still happening and something needs to change for people to be safe and for life to be valued. You need to make a statement in order
That's
to
right.
get people's attention.
And you need to do things that maybe they're illegal and maybe they make people uncomfortable. And, you know, those are conditions that lead to the change because the city knows now that there are people who are willing to sacrifice, a great deal of their time and energy to make a change, and they're not waiting for the city. And the city has to respond.
Right. Well, and then there's the whole thing where, because like the legal system kind of supports, like we were talking about, the attitude that goes along with kind of driving in a motor vehicle. If left to its own devices, that breeds kind of a fuck you, I'm taking mine attitude.
Well, I feel like that was the kind of attitude that like sort of creates these situations where somebody gets mowed down because this person is taking a middle lane or whatever.
Right. It's a selfish sort of thing. And so when the system propagates selfish attitudes, you need to work outside of the system in order to bring that awareness to say, hey, maybe this selfishness is bad. Maybe it's hurting people.
That's right. And I encourage people all over the city and, well, not just here, but everywhere to, if your needs are not being met, you're citizens of this place and you have agency to act on your community, on your area.
Mm-hmm. Particularly for people who can't speak for themselves. If there's anyone who doesn't have a voice and you've got that voice, that this is an important time for that.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of people like, we're my friends and I and some other groups around town, we're able to do things in kind of some parts of town. If we just work in our own area, if we just work, Hawthorne was my neighborhood or is my neighborhood, but like, let's do things in other parts of town. There are people who are working 16 hours a day and they have kids at home and they just don't have the capacity to go and stand in a street all for an entire weekend. They can't do it. So a lot of times you have to look out and say, well, whose street can I stand in to make their lives better? So we got to stand in other people's streets.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing your experience with that. It's kind of inspiring and it's the sort of thing that I hope we see more of. So thank you.
All right.
Well, let's check out our headline, shall we?
Sure.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just fast, get into the morning light. Pedal just.
All right, so I have exactly one headline.
Yes.
But first, let's do our calendar.
Okay, what do we have on the calendar, sir?
First up, February 1st through the 4th is PDX Winterlight Festival.
Yes, this is an event hosted or sponsored by our local transportation agency, TriMet.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a good time for light because it's dark outside a lot of the time. And I don't know a whole lot about it other than they were giving away admission to this festival on TriMet's website. So if it's something you're interested in, you have a shot at getting free admission. February 11th, still on the calendar.
Friends of Gateway Green Work Party. Go out, bring your shovels.
Mm-hmm. Help
RSVP.
Trail riding become closer to a reality for more people in Portland. Actually inside of Portland.
Yes.
Also, I don't think we have any of the newest rides from Puddle Cycle. So if you're interested in Puddle Cycle, still happening.
Yeah,
we will
add
those.
Yeah, I didn't get that on there.
We'll add those
because
February is still a month.
Sorry, Toms.
It's all good. February 25th.
Open Signal, Portland Community Media Open House.
They're changing their name.
Right
here.
They are
rebranding. They're hosting us. They are hosting our studio and our space, and they're giving us a great deal of stability. So I like that.
And we will be maybe doing a thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're interested already in community audio, in podcast production, if you'd like to come and have your voice included in a project that we might be working on, details to come.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just our part of a larger thing that's going on.
That's right. This is an open house.
They have their own, cable access channel.
And on that cable access channel, there's going to be a televised 70s themed dance party that night.
That's right, yes.
So you should wear your clothes and come be on cable access TV. Are you going to be here, PJ? You should do this. I think you should.
I'm glad that you specified that you should wear your clothes.
I mean, those special ones, those 70s ones. Yeah.
Oh.
It's not like I've ever seen you naked. February 26th.
Chili Hilly Ride in Seattle. We've covered that earlier.
That's right. It's a charity ride.
Yes.
It supports the work of the Seattle equivalent of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, / whatever they're called now. I forget.
Street Trust.
Yes, that's right. They are an advocacy group for transportation in Seattle. And the Chili Hilly Ride, Mr. T, our listener, is going to be there.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we were supposed to go up there.
February 27th.
Menagerie in Motion Kinetic Derby.
The very next day.
Over in Gainesville, Florida.
Awesome, cool looking
bikes.
We'd
love to hear stories from that.
Indeed.
Give us a call.
That's
right. Drunk dial us from Gainesville.
Yeah. 503-847-9774.
It'd be great. March 11th, the Dalles Mountain 60.
60 miles out of the Dalles, Oregon. One of the coolest towns with a definite article in its name.
That's right. I can't think of another town with a definite article in that.
Honestly,
The Hague.
The Hague.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
I didn't know that that was like an actual city for the longest time. I thought it was like a building or because like, you know, they held trials at The Hague.
Sounds like a museum.
You know, there was a treaty signed at The Hague or there was
you thought it was a
agreement.
Building.
Yeah, I thought it was like this building that where like people went.
Yeah. And if you go through like all of the European countries, I bet there are other like, you know, Germany maybe has like, you know, Du Hast.
Yes.
Or something.
April 15th, at least one of us is looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to
the
it.
The Lads 500.
So are you looking forward to it?
Well, I said at least one
at
of
least,
us.
Okay. So, maybe more.
So there are three of us here.
That's right. Lads 500, just to break it down, Lads 500 is a century ride.
500 laps.
Done in relay by a team, unless you're awesome.
Unless
or
you're Nathan
stupid.
Jones. Yeah.
And the thing is... The theme of the whole event is let's do something stupid.
It's spring.
The stupidest bike event of the year.
Yes.
This is
500 laps around Lad Circle.
Around an eighth of a mile roundabout.
Yep.
Down in southeast. So this is being hosted by our friend David. He's the coolest.
It was a great time last year.
Yeah. I didn't get to go last year, but I'm going to go this year.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I'm absolutely going to go. And I think I'm going to do it Nathan Jones style.
Oh, really?
I'm going to bring my one bike, and then I'm going to bring my tall bike. And I'm going to ride 100 miles.
On your own.
Because why the hell not?
All right, good luck, man.
apparently, Nathan Jones was saying Nathan Jones style consists of, you know, two breaks for weed.
Oh, and that's okay.
And I said, that's going to be a problem because I can't smoke weed. I'm not allowed to. But he said it would be okay if I watched other people smoking weed.
Oh, okay.
I could do that.
You'll break to watch him smoke.
That's right. And then lastly, June 14th.
June 14th is Bicycle Christmas.
All right.
Go buy a bicycle.
So what is our headline today?
Our headline is, I don't have it on me.
Okay. It's from BikePortland.org.
This past Saturday, there was a group that calls themselves the Portland Bureau of Transformation.
That's a clever twist on the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Who went out and swept a lot of the bike lanes. Over here in Portland, instead of salt or various other materials spread on snow, the prevalent material is gravel.
Yeah.
And it works kind of to gain some traction on snow, but the unfortunate side of it... Ah, here we go. Let me see if I can find a good blurb. Ultimately, five of us showed up. PDX Transformation loaned some safety equipment, and we each brought brooms. We rode out to the raised bikeway at 85th and Division and went to work. The raised bikeway was a good choice because I assume it's one of the harder places for PBOT to run a sweeper, and it also doesn't get any vehicle traffic to help push the debris away.
As opposed to those bike lanes that people drive through.
That's Jonathan Mouse from Bike Portland.
Yeah.
Ted
Timmons.
Oh, that was Ted?
Contributor. I believe he's a listener of ours.
I'm sorry, Ted.
Does Ted listen to us?
Sure, he does.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yes, sweet. He does.
Hi, Ted.
And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Ted.
But no,
I owe you a beer next time we run into each other.
But it's a very interesting because, like, I've thought about that before. Like, what if I carried a broom?
Thanks,
what if
PJ.
I snapped a broom to the frame of my bike, and the next time I go past that pile of glass, I just get rid of it?
Right. I honestly, like, after I saw these pictures, I thought to myself, what would it take to mount a broom, like, in front of my wheel?
Oh, yeah. I've thought
and,
about
like,
that
have,
before.
Like, this angled broom and just, like, kind of, like, sweep as I ride.
Kind of like a road grader, but just for sweeping stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
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 So anyways, like one of the disadvantages of gravel is like when automobiles or whatever ride over it, it pushes it over to the side. And
right.
What happens is it all ends up in these bike lanes.
In the bike lane.
Yeah. That are
so like all the
side.
Gravel of an entire, you know, winter storm has all been pushed. So it, like it used to be over what, like 25 feet of concrete. Or,
right.
Or
and
whatever.
Now it's like, you know, an inch.
An
worth
inch thick.
Worth of gravel
yeah,
all in
you're
like
this
3 foot.
Through the bike lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, PDX, Bureau of Transformation.
Transformation.
Decided to take it upon themselves because the Bureau of Transportation, whose jurisdiction this would be under, has not been able to get to it. I
sure.
am going to give them the benefit of the doubt here on the air and say they just had other things going.
They're
right
busy.
Yes.
Yeah. They have limited snow plows and they have limited street sweepers.
Sure.
And whatnot. I hope
but
that's
in the meantime,
the
it's been a problem. The snow has melted for quite some time now. And
you heard us complain about the snow. Now yes. you can hear
now
us
you
complain
can hear
about
us
the gravel.
about the gravel from the lack
and
of
from
snow.
What I understand, it may snow later this week.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
We're just not ready for it. We're not prepared. We don't have the stuff. It'd be charming if we live somewhere else.
Right.
But
if we lived in a place that was supposed to get snow.
Are you tired of hearing the Sprocket Podcast complain about weather? Write to us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. But I do like that this is kind of like you were talking about earlier, PJ, with your event. The whole idea of like you don't ask for permission. You just go out and do something. Make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, clearly that's a thing that needs to be done. There's no controversy about getting rid of the gravel off
right.
bike lanes,
well,
right?
But that's the thing. If you ask for permission at that point, they're going to say, no, you're not like, you know, you're not a union guy and you don't, you know, you're not going to be
you're
safe
not,
enough because you
right,
don't
right.
have trained flaggers right. to operate the equipment. I'm like, I got a broom. I know how to push a broom. So that could be like, you know, if you out there, citizen, I just imagine I'm playing the call to action music. If you know of something that needs to be swept on your commute, this is something you have agency to do.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's hard to get in trouble for sweeping something, I think. Like, I mean, yeah, there are much
like,
more.
How do you write up a ticket for that?
There are many more, you know, events that you could take part in. Many more statements you could make, demonstrations and whatnot. That
some
you know,
maybe at your local airport
could be easy for you to get in
maybe
trouble.
Maybe it would yeah. be like unauthorized civic improvement, for which
right.
you need a permit or something.
Right. We did not ask for these improvements. Yeah, but this is it's very interesting. So,
but what I find interesting about this is the official channels actually did make a comment on this, right?
What did they say?
Were they not like actually like kind of giving sort of a thumbs up? But you know,
was that
kind of like this? Like, no, I believe Ted Wheeler
was on the Twitter
tweeted about it. Maybe okay. not.
I didn't see that because I follow
rumors.
That Twitter account.
I do too. I do.
And
too,
I looked but, through okay. and didn't see that.
So forget
but,
I just said this.
Yeah.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Bike Portland commenters that have responded about this,
yeah.
but yes, that's all good feedback. I don't see. Yeah,
but I would be very interested because how do you make a case? How do you make a case for, like, this group is a rogue group? They shouldn't be doing this.
They must be stopped.
Right.
It's a
well,
trap.
I seem to remember they had quite a bit of controversy with the city when they painted that. They painted a crosswalk
yes.
on Clinton and 18th.
Was that
or 19th?
Like towards the beginning of the school year? Like
yeah,
September?
Yeah, it was. It was. Because yeah. it was shortly after the whole thing that I... dealt with on Hawthorne.
Right.
Yeah, and as I recall, they
twice
put down a
it,
they
right?
put down a crosswalk with tape.
Uh-huh.
And then the city came and
removed
pulled it up
yep.
and then they came back that same night and painted a crosswalk and then the city took two or three days to come back and pressure wash the paint off.
Mm.
They were very the city was adamant that they did not
Do
want
not
a crosswalk
put
in front of a school.
That's where I got, or at least mis attributed the quote to Steve Novick about if you put a crosswalk here, it's going to encourage like this dangerous behavior. This
yeah.
so-called dangerous behavior of
like
crossing
the street.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we may not have.
Well, let's
what?
Hold on. Let's stay here with the Bureau of Transformation.
Do it.
Cuz I really like what they do regardless of whether or not they, you know, they're not an official government group. Yes.
PDX Transformation.
Yes.
Not official
yes,
group.
Yes, the okay. Bureau of Transformation, not an official city sponsored city acknowledged group, but still doing some things. From what I see, in the name of safety.
Yes.
The gravel was a safety issue. This crosswalk was a safety issue.
Uh-huh.
Like, big thumbs up. And I would put myself on the line, you know, with whatever, like, official channels there are to say, like, just let them do their thing. You know, when they do something that is actually dangerous, maybe you can get in. Maybe you can get involved. But at this point in time, that has not been the case. Every time they've come out, it's been... Let's improve the safety of this situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's my rant,
right.
I guess, on that.
Yeah, what do you have against puppies? City of Portland, come on. Why do you hate cute things?
I would be interested to hear the other side. Like, if there,
yeah.
if there is, like, you know, those of you listening out there, like, please come back at me and I don't know. Like, I'm okay with being wrong.
Yeah.
I've said this many times, you know, and I have been many times. Yes.
You're not ashamed of it.
No. You're not wrong now.
But, I mean, I would assume there are at least a few people listening here that would disagree. I'd love to hear those disagreements.
Yeah.
We read them on our mail segment, you know. Do we have anybody that disagree with us this week?
Let's find out.
All right. Well, we may not know right now, but we're about to.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Also, in the meantime...
Oh, yeah, it's that fancy soda. What is that called again?
Vimto.
Vimto. Fruit-flavored, they say.
Oh, yeah, I was reading the French side.
Well, you have to let us know if it, in fact, is flavored like fruit.
It reminds me of, this is not a good name, but...
That universal fruit that everyone eats?
Back when I was growing up in Michigan, we had a soda called Big Chief Red Pop.
Ah.
Very not a good name for a soda.
Well, culturally insensitive.
Yes,
but
this is kind of what it tastes like.
Okay.
Or what it reminds me of.
Interesting. Is it like Big Red, like the Green River Red equivalent?
Sure, I don't know. I've never heard of that.
That was
but
more
it's Red Pop.
Red Pop.
Like it was its own flavor growing up.
Right.
Like, yeah.
It's almost as good as Faygo.
Yes.
Could you get a Red Pop pie?
Oh.
I don't know. We're going to have to invent one, though, if you can.
I thought that was what those cherry things that you get from the bakery are. Like the Hostess mini pies.
Oh, yeah.
Those are basically Red Pop pies. Oh, from Paula.
From Paula, who was on our show just last week.
Yes.
Thanks again for a fun evening. Just wanted to let you know my URL has changed. I have somewhat deactivated the Facebook site and will be publishing and such here. And
where is here?
I located a link there. It's
somehow here is gone.
What? I can't get to it because
like
I'm not
Goo Goo
online
Dolls
right
song,
now.
The name of which I can't remember.
I don't know. Actually, I'm not familiar with their work.
It's called Here Is Gone.
Oh.
So
we'll have to edit that.
We got a link. Yeah, I can't read it to you right now because I. But it's
okay.
A website.
So it's her blog post, and then there's also
I believe
we'll be building links to her. What am I trying to say? Like fabrications and whatnot.
Yeah, I want to say it's called funatakicyclecraft.com.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I don't know if it's a .com, but it's funatakicyclecraft.
Links on the website.
Next up,
Sean.
Speaking of Aaron being wrong.
Ooh. Hey, here it is.
From Sean in St. Louis.
I like that I'm so happy that you were wrong.
Well, it's because it's from a really good friend of mine. So.
I'm actually
just happy that he's listening.
Uh-huh.
I need to throw a little shade.
Shade.
On the second to the last episode, the one with Guthrie, during mail, Aaron mentioned wanting to ride to a friend's wedding on Bainbridge Island, but couldn't do it. What he failed to mention is that two of his friends did, coming all the way from St. Louis. I even wore my cycling shoes to the wedding to save space.
He's one of the friends that did.
Yes.
There we go.
It goes on to say that the adventure was actually pretty multimodal. Him and his wife brought a folding bike with them on the airplane, packed in a suitcase with their camping gear. They arrived in Seattle and took the light rain.
Two suitcases. One had a folding bike. The other one had their camping gear. Okay.
Yes. When they arrived in Seattle, they took the light rail to the UW station to meet his brother, took the bus to their car out in, I'm going to...
Sammamish.
Yeah, I was going to slaughter that. Thank you.
I grew up around there.
So his wife had the folding bike. He borrowed his brother's bike, and they took the Sammamish Lake Trail. The poorly signed I-90 and rode up to Chinatown, met a friend, bombed through downtown to catch the ferry.
Boats.
So not only multimodal, but multi-terrestrial?
Hashtag boat month.
Yes. And then rode across Bainbridge Island to the wedding and camped there.
Yes. Yeah. That's quite the chain of events. It's a lot of things.
He also says, I'm not actually mad at Aaron over the lack of shout-out, I promise. Well, here's your shout-out, Sean. Thank you. Thank you so much for bringing that, and also just for listening. I kind of am a little surprised.
That's right. And speaking of throwing shade,
Nathan Poulton, who
on
we
Twitter.
Read on our credits, has thrown some shade over to Crosshairs podcast and Wide Angle Podium podcast. Says to them, hey, do you have patches? Sprocket Podcast does.
Yeah.
And he shows them a picture of our patch.
To be fair, at this point, we have like three patches.
I'm hanging on to them for dear life.
But no, if there's a lot of interest.
Wait,
people...
you said I could have one for showing up on the show.
I mean.
We have two patches.
We
have two patches.
But no, we're going to do a second run soon, and we'll be excited about it.
Yeah.
But yes, I do like that. So hopefully Crosshairs and Wide Angle Podium can get their patches together as well, because I think it's a big enough world for there to be multiple podcasts.
We don't have to be the only patch-bearing podcast out
there. That's right.
Next up, from our senior math correspondent, Harry Hugel,
uh-huh.
He says, my zip tie snow trip cost me 27.72.
Aaron's zip ties, no trip. This is the one we were talking about last episode. We couldn't figure out exactly how much it would cost you to put all those zip ties around your wheels.
Yep.
And to use as a traction device during snow.
11 cents a zip tie, 64 times 2 one way. That's 128 times 2 round trip, minus 4 unbroken zip ties of 252 zip ties used.
Okay. So that means about $27.72.
Yeah.
There you go.
Shit.
Not bad.
That was an expensive grocery run.
Hey, man, but it worked, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
You got extra traction out of those zip ties.
I got from point A to point B safely.
I'm glad we have a senior math correspondent.
And from our senior winter camping correspondent,
yes.
Doug Robertson. He says, Brock, very cool that you tried winter camping. It's definitely
very cool
a form
indeed, right?
That requires the right gear. Very cool. Yes, definitely a form of camping that requires the right gear and a little bit more preparation than summer camping.
Yeah, I'll say it.
And he says he's been winter camping in northern Minnesota for years, and here's a link to his most recent trip 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually. It was a cool looking write-up. I am proud of Doug.
Yes, he says you can stay warm camping on top of snow or ice if you have the right equipment. It's not necessarily to dig down to bare ground. Again, a point in which I stated something that was somewhat incorrect.
There you go.
I stand corrected again, and I'm okay with it because that means I've learned something.
You're a flexible person, sir.
I've slept on a lake in minus 20 degrees temperatures and stayed warm. That's bullshit.
Really?
No, you're wrong now.
Wow. A good inflatable foam core pad.
Yep. Helps insulate. I use a Therm-a-Rest ProLite for winter and summer camping, whether I'm backpacking or bike camping.
PJ, have you ever slept on snow?
I have.
How did it go for you?
It was cold.
Yeah. Damn straight. My knee has just started to get back to normal, and I am convinced that part of it was that my knee was like so cold all night that it just kind of froze up or whatever.
Oh.
I mean, I can ride my bike without real pain.
Well,
I'm not limping
good
anymore, but and I think it was actually an injury, you know, related to the hiking that probably caused most of the pain, but it was accentuated by being so damn cold overnight.
Oh, yeah.
So the right gear, Doug is absolutely right, you know, and this should be a lesson to everybody. Take it from our senior winter camping correspondent. Doug says, take the right gear. You'll be happy you did.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Jay poses a question.
He says, why doesn't Puddle Cycle have a Facebook or Twitter?
Do you know the answer to this?
Well, my response is they don't.
That was my response, too. I thought they did. I think they have Facebook events.
They have a site. Is it a Tumblr or a WordPress?
It's a site.
It's
PuddleCycle.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's still a small enough, homegrown enough sort of organization that it's just the people putting it together. They don't... I don't think they have a Twitter.
Disco Stew doesn't advertise.
but yes, they are about, and all the events are promulgated on Facebook by Tom Howe. So do, in fact, look those up if you're curious. Again, another month, February. Yeah. All right, well, this has been a good show. PJ, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for telling your stories.
I got to say, this is the first podcast I've ever been on.
You should be on more podcasts.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen.
Are you going to be my agent? Are you going to book me?
I was going to say, you want to come back and do another show someday? But
sure.
But I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to my friends.
It was relatively painless.
Relatively. All right. Let's do our credits.
Sure. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
We mean it. Call us. Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Mellemgard,
Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie,
Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lane,
Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple,
Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden,
Eric Wise, Doug Cohen-Miller, Todd Parker,
Chris Gonzalez, Dan Kibcart, who's a time traveler, Zoe Campagna,
Dave Nose, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archade, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, the King of Division, Josh Zissen,
Richard G. Guthrie Straw, Brandon Shelby,
Campsite, Aaron Green, Mac Nurse David,
Kathy at Cycling, Walking, Eating, Talking,
Nathan Poulton from Twitter, who we talked to, Chris Rawson, Rory in Michigan,
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen, David Blaze,
Tim Coleman, Mr. T, Harry Hugo,
Ed Whitman, EJ Finneran, Paul Culbertson,
Brad Hipwell, who we still owe some stickers. Brad, hang in there. Thomas Skato. How do you say that, Thomas?
Skadow.
Skadow? I think that's how Tim says it on the Pedal Shift Project.
23 Skadow.
Yes. Let's hope let's hope we're right. I get it.
Okay.
I hope he gets it. I really hope he thinks it's funny. And all of our former donors who helped us get this far.
Now brush your teeth.
And go to bed.
Jackass, right?
Yeah.
A lot of fun.